Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I am El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier. How's it going?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right, good. Well, we're talking about this week we're talking about the fact that the Undisputed Era may be splitting up, and that information may have been leaked. You may have also guessed it from watching NXT. We'll also be reviewing the full show. Here it is. PW Insider's Mike Johnson said, you may have surmised from last night's NXT that Adam Cole Wrestling Austin Theory is the beginning of Adam Cole shifting into a babyface role on the brand. And WWE obviously started teasing that after he lost to Finn Balor. But PW Insider has also been told by multiple sources that the plan is for Kyle O'Reilly to also shift into a fully fledged babyface role going forward. I would argue that had already started. It's not like that's not really a secret. However, as of writing, the rest of the Undisputed Era, i.e. Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, are not slated to follow. And then Mike Johnson says that it will be interesting to see where WWE NXT goes with the faction and how they will be presented going forward. And this obviously then ties into a few of the things that we've posited the last few weeks. Like, I feel like Kyle O'Reilly winning the NXT championship or even just being in a match on TakeOver that Adam Cole is not involved in might rankle Adam Cole, ruffle a few feathers within the old Undisputed Era. However, if you are doing what kind of seemed to be the fallout from last night's episode of NXT, you've got Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly both aligned with the light, Adam, and over on the dark side. Old Fish and Roddy Strong.
Old Strong Fish.
What do you think? What do you think's happening with Strong Fish? What do you think's happening? Fish Rod. Oh my God.
Fish Rod.
Fishing Rod. It's been there the whole time.
What have we done? No, we have to keep it. We've ordered all these Strong Fish t-shirts, Laurie.
It's been there the entire time.
Fishing Rod. Man, oh, so the only thing I think they've really missed a trick on, because I really like this episode of NXT. Really good go home show for what is up until now really felt like an afterthought takeover. The card is stacked and may legitimately be one of the hardest takeovers to predict. By the time this goes out, obviously we'll have done our predictions over on Wrestle 2, so go over and check out those. I'm still not 100% on which way it's going. My only thing I think they missed out on the road to TakeOver 31 is not putting a tag match with Strong Fish versus the current champs, who are Breezango, that's it. I remember. Because that is just like, then all eyes are on Yui. And I think in the sense they still kind of are. It's just, I want to see more from Fish and Strong. Because, like, yeah, these guys beat up, you know, Drake Maverick. They're obviously very, very heel still. And then you've got fantastic stuff from Kyle O'Reilly, who's still a little bit of a tweener in this week's episode. Adam Cole is pretty much unabashedly face at this point. And it's like, yeah, like who? Because if for example, under, you know, Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish were to win the titles from Breezango, and then Kyle O'Reilly fails, what if they turn on him? And Adam Cole kind of sides with Kyle O'Reilly, because that is the real friendship at the core of Undisputed Era, and they've made that very clear this week. And it's just like, there's so much there. I'm a little gutted that we're not getting what everyone presumes to be the Yui versus Breezango match on the TakeOver card, because I really feel that is the final piece of the puzzle to make it really fascinating for the Yui story. But yeah, no, it looks like they're splitting up. We might, like, I think Cole and Kyle O'Reilly versus Fish Rod would be an amazing tag team feud. Mm-hmm. It would be incredible. But just what I want the most is Kyle versus Cole. I want it so, I didn't realize how much I wanted it until this week when Cole cut a promo on how, you know, Kyle O'Reilly is going to shock the world, but he's not going to shock me. And just the, you know, the shots of them young and being together and like, man, I am so excited for this takeover. Like, in the last like week and a half to 2 weeks, my anticipation for it's gone through the roof. Can't wait.
If you weren't already a Kyle O'Reilly groupie before this episode, this is the one to make you it, because he, like, the through line here was Undisputed Era and Kyle O'Reilly specifically having risen to that point to face the NXT champion Finn Balor at TakeOver 31. There was a prime target section that happened in the show that was like the most babyface prime target I think he could do. It was about the years of training that Kyle O'Reilly's had, 15 years in the business, working his way up to this point. They did a brilliant bit of sort of history, like sort of retroactive history making with him and Finn Balor, of being like, you know, I went here and he'd left. I went there and he'd left. I turned up here and he goes to Raw and now he's back. I've been following him around the world thinking I want to have a match with Finn Balor, and now I finally got it. You know, in this promo, Kyle also, like, Adam Cole obviously put Kyle over quite hard in the promo, but seemingly like that there is that little ripple of tension there between them. And then, yeah, Kyle said, like, everyone's asking what's going to happen with the Undisputed Era. And he said, like, you know, we stick together if I win the championship. It's just the exact same.
We're fine. Don't worry about it. We're yeah, as exactly. tight as we've always been.
It's going to be the second wave of the Golden Prophecy, is what he said.
Is there a problem with the Rockers? No, it's they're definitely breaking up. It's just whether or not it happens at the TakeOver or not. And if that tag match was on the TakeOver, I would say that they're 100% breaking up on TakeOver. It may be more slow burn than that. I think we're going to get into a little bit of a shoving match. I think there's going to be a little bit of a, you couldn't get it done. I think maybe we might get Yui trying to interfere, but Kyle
stopping,
sending them home, maybe shoving Roderick Strong down, something like that. And that may end up costing him. Or he might win. I don't know. Like, literally in the interview, which we'll talk to, which is, again, beautiful segment. Like, maybe not as good as Rock Austin from that episode of SmackDown before Mania X7. But it's up there in terms of, like, making a match seem important at the last minute. It's just the one thing they said, which I think it was Kyle O'Reilly said, no one loses on their first defense, do they? And it's just like, little bit.
Kyle was Captain Charisma there. Yeah, and so that's we'll get to that in a mo, just because that was like the finale of this sort of episode-long build to the final face-to-face between Kyle and Finn, and you got to sort of see their interaction, because really the story is obviously about Kyle and the Undisputed Era, because you've got Austin Theory backstage at one point saying that, you know, he found it very inspirational, Kyle's little video that he just saw, working for 15 years. Ha, ha, ha. I was on WrestleMania at 22. Maybe he needs to try harder. What a douchebag. And then Cole comes out he gets in the ring and he says, you know, for 3 years we dominated NXT. The prophecy came true. We won the first ever War Game. We're still that Undisputed Era that won the first ever War Games match. And then Adam Cole calls out Austin Theory for talking trash to Kyle. And Adam Cole and Austin Theory have this match. We'll go through the match in detail a bit later. But yeah, the point is he's beating the crap out of Theory for Kyle's honor. And
such a good match.
Yeah. And it was a great little match. And then, yeah, so Adam Cole is fired up and angry. And, like, you wonder when you're watching this, him, like, really lay into Austin Theory, like, really putting him to task, whether he's angry on Kyle's behalf or whether he's angry on his own behalf about somebody insulting Kyle, because maybe that reflects badly on Adam Cole, the leader of the Undisputed Era. Maybe Adam Cole thinks he should be in the match against Finn Balor, the man who Adam Cole lost to quite recently. I just think that was just a brilliant little bit, because yeah, it does position Cole as a babyface, but he's a babyface who's a little bit unstable. Like, there was a level of viciousness here that sort of suggested something more than just being like, well, you just said some naughty stuff about my friend. Like, he was dishing out something here that felt quite personal. I wonder what they're going to do with that at TakeOver. Because then we got that brilliant face-to-face chaired by Shawn Michaels with Finn and Kyle. And yeah, Shawn said, obviously, it was all very respectful in the beginning, and he put over Finn massively, and then he put over Kyle massively, as you would do. But he said, like, you know, I think, Kyle, you're probably the best kept secret in wrestling right now. And then Balor says, I don't think you're a secret. I know who you are. You might be to the outsiders, but I know you're good. But do you really think you can beat me? And then they just had this brilliant back and forth that at times felt pretty unscripted. I loved it. Like, when you're saying, like, you know, you're going to turn up with the Undisputed Era, or you're going to turn up like a man. And Kyle's like, I'll turn up like a man. And he's like, look at these, you know, me and the Era, here's one hand, here's the other hand. Look at them. They wash each other. But like, Kyle was Mr. Charismatic, I think, in this segment. And like, if you wanted to make a single star out of someone who, you know, has proven himself very funny before in NXT history, but never has really been given that much time to just talk as himself and really appear as his own sort of character. He's always just been, you know, it's like the sweeps from Transformers, you know, Cyclonus's sweeps. They're just all carbon copies of the same person. And I think that's what the Undisputed Era, generally speaking, are, with Adam Cole as the lead bastard. But yeah, it's nice to see sort of more aspects of Kyle's character. And yeah, like, he really had a sort of edge here. But there was that line where he says, you know, people think I'm the underdog in this match, but the sound of a knee popping or exploding really tends to change people's minds. It's so good.
When he says, you have everything it takes to be NXT champion, and you would be if this title was on anyone else but Finn Balor. And yeah, like, it's really, really good. Like, it's, I think a lot of people would expect kind of Kyle O'Reilly singles push to be more like, there to be a bit more build to his first takeover. Obviously, Triple H said in a recent interview that was the plan. Like, Kyle O'Reilly's singles push was always in the works, but obviously things being switched around because of COVID, and especially with the most recent outbreak, things had to be massively shifted around. It's like the last two shows like had to be retaped like crazy close to the deadline. So yeah, this is all kind of arriving out of a little bit of out of nowhere, but if we get, for the NXT Tag Team Championships, Strong Fish versus Cole O'Reilly,
what else is around the corner, Adam?
Survivor Series.
And also War Games.
Oh, shingles. You're right.
Yeah, thank you, because I don't have to come back and take this out and bleep you. So thank you for saying shingles.
Welcome.
Oh, shingles. Oh, rickets. I think War Games could be a really interesting, like, I obviously know it's not a traditional War Games match if you just bunged the Undisputed Era inside a massive cage and two rings, but I would like to watch it. I don't think they're going to have the personnel to do a War Games, but yeah, I think I think they'll do something thematically similar in that sense. I don't think they'll do a full War Games match, but I think they'll do like NXT TakeOver Goes to War or something, and it will be about headlining with the Undisputed Era stuff. Mm. But yeah, I'm so intrigued because, yeah, I think you're right. The big ticket item here is Cole O'Reilly, but you don't want to go there immediately. You want to drag this out and you want them to be on the same team. And like, I don't even know, like, there's a bit of me that's like, just go with it, man. Just put the belt on Kyle and see what happens.
Like, he might. Like, yeah. And what would that do to the UE if he's like, if he is like the new Adam Cole? How does Adam Cole take that? How does Fishing Rod take that? Like, it's so, oh, like, there's so many avenues. Like, that's what makes this takeover so hard to predict. You can, like, absolutely, I think the safest option is that everyone retains. Like, yeah. I'm sure that's, you know, what a lot of people will be going for when it comes to the predictions for this. But they literally, like, if you're looking for something to, like, lightning charge NXT, like, putting the belt on Kyle, like, making Finn a transitional champ, like, it's going to stir up some arguments.
Oh, but, yeah.
But the fallout is fascinating. Because Finn's got challenges after Kyle. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's... And we'll get into this more in the predictions video. But, like, there's fallout options for both, yeah. Which is the truth for pretty much most matches on the card, which is, it's going to be a fun watch.
I think what you do, I think you don't have Kyle win here. I think you have the Undisputed Era cause some sort of upset that costs Kyle the championship, or he sends him away and that costs himself. However, you do a tag feud between the group. And then you break it down. And so the group is now basically split, and it's Cole and O'Reilly on one side. And you've got Strong and Fish. They go off and do their own thing. Cole and O'Reilly both want the NXT championship. Mm. And for WrestleMania weekend takeover, you start to build this story of these two guys having a bit of feud that kind of doesn't really involve the champion. It's about which one of them gets to be the number one contender. And then you could, you know, and you could do that maybe slightly earlier and have one of them win it and then the other one challenge them at Mania TakeOver. Or you sort of do the one contendership for TakeOver. I think this is the kind of match that is, you know, big enough to just be on a TakeOver, quite a high place on the card, just as a blood feud between these two guys. Like, I would absolutely love to see that. And I do hope they do like a nice slow build to it. Because also I think, like, if the purpose is of putting the belt back on Finn, like putting the belt on Finn Balor, is to kind of get that main roster crowd coming down and having a little look at NXT again and get a bit more of the mainstream audience over there, you want to give him a decent run. And I also think, and we'll come into it in predictions, you want some shakeups elsewhere. So you don't want to change too many championships after having already had to quickly turn about at about face and make changes because of injuries, etc. elsewhere in the brand. But exciting times. I think we'll talk about it again as we go through, but like they're just such good segments with Kyle this week on NXT. Like, genuinely, the face-to-face meeting with Finn Balor is one of the best, like, sit-down interviews segments WWE has done for years. It is so, so good. Like, WWE is crushing it currently at just brilliant little feuds. You've just had Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, and now you've got this. This is, yeah, they can really hot shot something into relevance. They've mastered the art of that.
It just bloody helps when you're pushing someone new to the main event, and you've got a huge amount of history to call back on. Always creates a really good feud. Like, Jey Uso, crazy choice, but all of that history and all of that context, all of that emotional potential was there. Same with Kyle, like, suddenly turning him from a tag guy to main event. It's a bit jarring, but it does leave you with a wealth of stuff to draw upon for a feud in a way that, you know, it is more difficult with Adam Cole because you sort of exhausted a lot of his story options. But you haven't exhausted him versus Kyle O'Reilly, and you haven't exhausted the breakup of the Undisputed Era, which...
it's the only place left for them to go, really, isn't it?
It's definitely coming. I think the leak kind of proves it. It's just whether or not it happens on Sunday.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies could only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Okay, so let's go through the show and talk about what else happened, because actually there was a lot of really fun, good stuff in this episode of NXT. Show opened with Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai, a match that's been advertised for most of the week, because Shotzi eliminated Dakota Kai from the Battle Royal the previous week for the number one contendership, which Candice LeRae won. Shotzi, like my only real notes for this is Shotzi screams welcome to the ball pit and does her little like Hardy Boys leg drop right into the crotch of Kai, and it's the loudest welcome to the ball pit I think we've had yet. I still don't understand what it means, but I am intrigued.
I'm not sure what this means, but there it is. No. She's got loads of things. God bless you, Shotzi Blackheart.
She's chucking it all at the wall.
You're the female Chris Jericho. You like that gimmick? I've got six others. Fine. Absolutely. Like, yeah, I thought this match was decent. It is there to build Ripley versus Gonzalez, which feels like, you know, that has potential to be a takeover money match for sure. Not this takeover, evidently, but like, I like the fact that they are slowly kind of building it. Like, they had to sort of hotshot it with Martinez because she had reckoning to do on the main roster, but I'm really kind of psyched to see where they go with Gonzalez and Ripley. I think that, you know, the eventual match I think will be really fun.
Yeah, and I mean, the Mercedes Martinez thing proved that even though they did obviously like shuffle that up in the old schedule to get that on TV before she was taken, what a brilliant match that was, and the payoff to it. So like Ripley, I think Ripley is the sort of wrestler you can really hang these just big feud matches around, and it doesn't have to be about titles. And I don't think there's not many talents in the women's division that they've really done that with. Like Bianca Belair had a little bit of a run of sort of those kind of feuds. Baszler did on her way to the title. But yeah, I think it's like, it's really nice that Ripley's sort of been given this kind of like almost larger than the division role. And she can really be the sort of the queen maker amongst the NXT crowd, because, you know, like Martinez came out of that match looking amazing. It's almost kind of a shame that she's obviously now gone and been, you know, become Reckoning or whatever. And, you know, hopefully the same could be said for Gonzalez. And if this leads to Gonzalez and Kai kind of going their separate ways in the division, that would be really interesting, because this is a really good way to put Gonzalez over Strong in a match with Ripley. This match between Kai and Blackheart, though, there was one big moment that's very much worth talking about, which was
the love of God,
a hellacious looking apron bump.
Sliced bread number two. Please never, ever, 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 ever do that again. I've written a string of expletives in my notes, which I can't read out, but just good Lord, Shotzi. She's had so many close calls, and like, I don't want her to, like, you know,
do you think,
like,
that's what that is? Like, phew.
Like, I don't know how you don't get heat backstage from, like, once, like with the plancha where she jumped and almost broke her neck because she landed on the people wrong. Like, that's one time. But like, when you, especially when you've had Johnny Gargano almost breaking his neck, you know, a COVID outbreak, you know, so they are already, like, the divisions are a little shorter staff than they usually would be. I don't know how you don't get heat from, I hope not, because obviously, like, she's just lucky to not have broken her bloody neck.
Yeah.
But that's insane, an insane spot to do if you're not 100%. And like, yeah, mistakes happen, but just like she genuinely almost spiked the top of her head on the ring apron. Like, yeah, it was the actual horrifying
corner of their ring apron as well. Not even on the, like, the limited amount of flat bit that there is. She really did. So like, the spot is that Kai and Shotzi are on the apron. Kai's got a waist lock. Shotzi goes up the turnbuckle, and it's kind of half turning into a sliced bread, but it never fully rotates all the way around. So it ends up being more like a German suplex. But what actually happens is Shotzi kind of just goes down straight on her neck and shoulder on the apron and sort of flops off. And this led to the match finishing quite quickly. And yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, I don't know, one, how you don't get heat backstage for this kind of thing. And two, it feels a bit unnecessary to even try a spot like that. This is the show opener.
It's not, yeah, that's a takeover spot.
It's a takeover spot. And this is also a match that's not about you. Like, you know, I know, like, Shotzi's obviously on the rise in NXT, and I think she is fantastic, and I think she will, given time, be an NXT Women's Champion. But it's not, I don't think it's going to be this year. I would be surprised if it's late next year. I think it's going to be 2022 before she really rises to that role.
I get it. Like, I think she's the hungriest wrestler in NXT. Like, if you talk about stuff, like, people who bring stuff, who develop their branding, who come out there and, like, put themselves in positions where, like, they can impress and do generally, like, when, you know, her match with Ia was great, her closing spots with Candice were good. Like, she's showing herself as a really reliable hand in the women's division. It's just that evidently sometimes that hunger pushes her to attempt spots which are not necessary and are really, really dangerous. She gave herself a bloody dragon sleeper on the corner of the ring apron, like a board, like, look more savage than what Kota Ibushi got from Naito. Like, horrible, horrible.
Yeah, and please, it's also like, yeah, she's obviously trying stuff at the limits of, like, the limits of her ability. And it's, yeah, it's just, you're just watching that and being like, well, this is all about a run-in from Rhea Ripley, this match. That's the story here, you know? Like, it's, I don't know, keep something in the tank sometimes, because in the tank. But yeah, like, it's, I think it is important to be like, yeah, I think Shotzi is going to have a really long career in NXT.
I hope so.
And a really good rise to NXT Women's Champion, but it's getting a bit out of hand, the number of spots that have gone awry recently for Shotzi. Like, yeah,
I get it. Like, you know, I do get Jeff Hardy vibes from you, Shotzi, but the wrong kind of Jeff Hardy vibes at the moment. Yeah.
The reason he looks pained taking his t-shirt off, Jeff Hardy vibes. Like, you know, this is not what you want to be. But yeah, so she takes this really big bump. The ref comes out and checks on her. Everything slows down for a couple of seconds. And then essentially they get back in the ring and sort of try to pick it up. And Gonzalez, when the ref's back is turned, trips Blackheart. And just as she does that, Rhea comes out and makes the attack. Dakota comes in for a running boot in the corner. Shotzi manages to jump out of the way and roll her up for three. So, like, yeah, this spot, I think, derailed plans a little bit and they had to sort of jump to the finish quite early. It felt a little bit like quickly handled. It's a shame because, yeah, I think also we had that sort of in the Battle Royal last week, we had a little bit of a fudge between Ripley and Gonzalez that made that feel stilted and awkward as well. So even that's not necessarily going swimmingly, but I am still excited to see Gonzalez and Ripley face off eventually. But yeah, I would like to feel a bit more passion and heat behind these moments. But at the moment, I think they're not quite achieving it because everyone's too busy being like, oh my God, that went wrong. And then you can't concentrate on the next bit of acting that you need to do. And I think everyone's obviously like hit the spots afterwards, but I think they're lacking a little bit of the drama needed to carry this story. We then moved on to Santos Escobar and Swerve Scott being interviewed by Tom Phillips. Swerve says that all of his opportunities so far have been absolutely unfair. He says that obviously like you've gimmicked it. You've brought out Legado del Fantasma, used the gimmicked Lucha Mask to beat me. And Santos instead just says, you're just a loose end. You're a parasite. I tie up loose ends. We'll have a fair match at TakeOver. I believe you, Santos. And so Swerve says, he says that Swerve is making excuses when he's talking about all the gimmicks and stuff, because when it actually comes to it, he can't deliver. Swerve reminds us he's the only man to have pinned Santos Escobar in WWE in general. And he's going to reveal him as a fraud. I liked these two. I don't like these kind of, you know, all of these stilted interviews are not always brilliant, but I think
a lot of gestures, a lot of that, and just like a lot of kind of I am reacting to you acting. But I some really good lines. I really liked it was like what you call a bag of tricks, I call a century of tradition. Like brilliant that. It's really good heel delusion as well. Like he's just shaking. He's not like, I love the fact that he's coming at it from a certain angle. He believes that he is preserving Lucha tradition. He is, of course, cheapening Lucha tradition by framing his like cheating ways as traditional, which is exactly the kind of character work I like. I love delusional heels who completely believe that what they're doing is the right thing, but completely undermine their intentions by being dicks. It's great. Really, really hope Santos Escobar retains. At the pay-per-view. He might not
save him for Drake.
I don't know, that's the thing. But like it's the closest thing it comes to a sure thing, but even then, like, they may just switch it up by you know, make, because there hasn't been a, you know, a title change for a while, so who knows.
We'll talk about it in the predictions, obviously. Yeah. If you are, when you're watching this, you can go see that afterwards. So please do check that out and you'll find out what I think about this match and who's going to retain. After that, we got another package about the mystery returning person to NXT who's coming on TakeOver. It's probably Ember Moon.
It's definitely Ember Moon now.
She rides a motorbike. Because obviously, like, last week we discussed this at length, and Robert Roode was on the list of people who might return to NXT. Robert Roode returned to Raw. So it seems unlikely. And funnily enough, he's friends with Ziggler again, so that's fine. He must have been brilliant. Pick up where I left off then.
Bloody hell. They'll need more tag teams.
So excellent.
Yeah, sure.
Brilliant. Cool. I guess because, wearing out the Street Profits at this point.
Angel Garza's, you know, Jesus, wet. Lucha House Party's breaking up. Bloody hell, guys. Yes. Be a tag star. That's fine. Jesus.
So that leaves us with a choice of seemingly Bo Dallas and Ember Moon. Obviously, the poster in last week's package had, I can't remember which takeover it was, but it was a takeover. It was the takeover at which Robert Roode won the title. And it was a takeover at which Ember Moon first faced Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship, but did not win. So I wonder whether that's like, we'll find out whether that's the red herring or not. Can you imagine Bo Dallas on a motorbike?
Well, he did dress like it at some point when he was part of the Miztourage. Like he dressed like sort of one of the weird guys from DOA. So maybe he loves Vespers more than we thought he did. I don't know. It's dumb. Both of them have a place in NXT. Both of them have great history in NXT. Both of them would make the divisions they enter more interesting, be it North American, I assume, for Bo, or even NXT main event for Bo. Or although it does feel a little bit like he's not Like the, it feels a little bit like the NXT Championship's too good for Dallas right now.
It's surplus to demands as well. Like there is so much other potential for the NXT Championship that he kind of, I guess, makes it more confusing. And it's just another story thread to keep, like another plate for them to spin on a weekly basis that I just don't think will go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I think Ember Moon in the women's championship picture adds a lovely little
yes, for sure,
like bit of interest there. Yeah, there's a lot to do with that. I'm interested to see also like what happens with this presentation of whoever's returning as well, the kind of night vision style, the like.
Oh God, it's like, Randy Orton.
I don't know what like obviously they're using like a 360 camera or something, like the blooming Google Street View it's all filmed in. But like it's yeah, it'd be interesting to see if any of the sort of biker stuff carries over, because it would then mean a kind of, you know, it would be a fresh gimmick for an Ember Moon or a Bo Dallas when they return. So it'd be interesting to see if like she just, if Ember's coming back, if it's just Ember Moon War Goddess again, or if it's Ember Moon someone who was in Akira one time. Like
we will find out.
We then got the Kyle O'Reilly prime target, which was just like perfect. Like it was peak WWE package making. They had so much extra footage of Kyle and Cole, and you know, I really liked all the stuff of Kyle on the bike riding around the forest in really dramatic fashion. Like this was really brilliantly put together. We then got the news that Tegan Knox has torn her ACL in the attack from Candice LeRae. And then we immediately cut into an interview with the Garganos, who said like, Johnny, just go, it's karma. She breaks my TV and then she tears her ACL. It's just karma.
What a little dirtbag.
He is a dirtbag. And then they basically said that it's their destiny to be the first married champions in NXT and sent the old interviewer away. I like them working as the power couple thing. I think it's money.
I think it's money.
I think you should put some belts on them.
I think crucially it's main roster style money. And if there is a pay-per-view coming up which requires NXT and the main roster to mix, might be a better gimmick. Maybe. Who knows? Who can say? But yeah. I think they're brilliant.
I mean, that would give you Johnny Gargano versus Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley as well.
That'd do me.
That'd do nice. Obviously, I'd love to see Damian Priest in that mix as well. But yeah, Sami Zayn and Johnny Gargano sharing a ring on WWE TV.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hopefully, I love you, Bobby Lashley, but please just lie on the outside for a good 10 minutes in that match.
There will come a point where he just basically comes in and Bronson reads everyone and just grabs Sammy. He grabs Johnny Gargano by the ankles and just beats Sami Zayn to death with him. Like, he's like having a powerhouse base for both of these two incredibly gifted, nippy guys. It's a match made in heaven. Want it.
Also, because Sami Zayn's just had one of the finer matches of his main roster career last weekend. That ladder match is incredible. What a clever finish. I absolutely adored it. So, yeah, he's on for make it happen. Give Johnny Gargano the North American title and let him lose at Survivor Series. I want to see it. We then got someone who wants to go to the moon. It's Cameron Grimes.
My favorite person. I love him so much.
I wanted more of this segment before Rich Holland came out. So like Cameron Grimes comes to the ring and he says, like, obviously he was in the Gauntlet Eliminator match and he almost won. He almost beat Kyle O'Reilly. And he says he's a bit down in the dumps, but he can cheer himself up because he's made the Cameron Grimes Invitational Stepping Stones to the Moon match. And he handpicked all of his opponents for the match. And then he's like doing a little intro for everyone as they come in. So the first guy up, he says, is Joey Pistachio.
Joey Pistachio.
And he's a boxer. And he just, obviously Joey gets in the ring and just immediately eats a cave-in, and Grimes does a 1-foot pin and goes to the moon as it's happening. love. Cameron Grimes.
I think you needed one more before Ridge Holland comes out.
Yeah, he needed a second because you want the joke. Jokes are best in threes as well. Like, you know, you confound the expectations on the turbo, so it would have been good. But then Joey Strong was coming out and Ridge Holland, mouthful of pork pie, comes out and beats the hell out of him and then just gets in the ring, headbutts Grimes, and then they have a bit of a brawl. And Ridge is so fired up about this that he gets himself essentially DQ'd from a match that wasn't really a match. They ring the bell and that sort of stops Ridge Holland from beating him up. And then they play Grimes's music.
Like, why make it a match? That's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. Like, just if it's just going to be a beatdown, just have him come out, wreck the Invitational, beat him down and leave. I don't know why they had to make it a match and then DQ him. But it's the worst kind of DQ because he's DQ'd for, you know, kicking too much ass, as they say.
Yeah, and holding ropes for too long, basically. And he's in the ropes. There's a fire.
And like, fine, sure. Like, Cameron Grimes versus Ridge Holland will be a nice little feud. I don't know who wins that feud as well, because Ridge Holland needs a bit of a showcase. But, you know, Cameron Grimes is money. God, he's money. He's so money.
Fortunately, Cameron Grimes, I think, is in, like, he's got gimmick insulation for losing. And he's actually better the more you kind of kick him when he's down. Like, his character works regardless of wins and losses. I think that's what's obviously so brilliant about Cameron Grimes, the character, is because he can just come out and be annoying whenever he wants to be. And you never really tire of seeing him in matches, because he's like the opposite end of the spectrum to a Robert Stone, say. Someone you know, WWE and NXT are going to love to have beaten on a regular basis and love to make the butt of the joke. But Cameron Grimes is made of rubber and bounces back. And so I just think he's always going to be in these big feuds with people that are going to be important. But yeah, he can take a loss and keep on rolling, which is great. Rich Holland, however, I don't think can at this exact moment in time. Otherwise, no one's going to buy his beef crisps, Adam. So we then got the Austin Theory interview backstage. It's just a grab bag of
made with real hooves,
mashed up bits of horn.
Solid beef crisps. Done. Love it.
We got the Austin Theory interview backstage where he insulted Kyle O'Reilly's honor, which obviously somewhere in the building you could hear Adam Cole go, he said what about Kyle? And then we had a little Kushida package, which I thought was brilliant. Kushida sort of put over the idea that, you know, for his first bit of NXT, he was a bit distracted. He'd just moved to the United States. That's quite confusing. He had all these injuries and all these challenges to overcome and never really got given a chance to just concentrate on the ring, as he put it. And then he says, like, he's going to go after Dream at TakeOver. And this new Kushida is vicious. Yes. And we got to see that in practice, because he took on Tony Nese. Tony Nese, obviously, is someone who has had some... He's actually had some stellar matches on NXT TV since they went on to USA. Like, he had the whole things with Leo Rush. And a series of long form matches as well on the brand. And I think, he's really shown himself to be a super competitor. Kushida destroyed him.
That's the thing, is like, if this had been like presented in some sort of Cruiserweight Classic context, this is a hell of a matchup. And like the sort of thing that people would salivate over. Evidently, Tony Nese is not in the spotlight right now. You know, he has, like you say, he's enough of a cachet of good feeling left over from his Cruiserweight Championship run. Which was decent, you know. Like, that's the thing, is like, his characteristic is still that he counts the number of bumps he's got, but he's bloody a super worker. And the fact that Kushida could make such quick work of him does still feel like a little bit of a shock, and not like too much of a kind of, well, obviously it's just Tony Nese. Like, you know, Tony Nese didn't have any favors done to him in the Cruiserweight kind of round robin thing, but like,
it's not Joey Pistachio, is it?
He's not quite Joey Pistachio, but like, bloody, it's really stamping on his head. He just keeps leathering him on the bonds. It's just like, wow. Are you so you're not heel? Interesting. I'm for it, because all I can picture now is Kushida versus Finn Balor. That's what I'm thinking about.
Oh, I love Kushida versus Finn Balor. I love this presentation of Kushida as well. It's like, it sits somewhere. It's obviously like a tweener kind of role. He's not a heel, but he is now just going to be vicious. And I think Kushida sold it so brilliantly, and obviously Tony Nese did as well, but they told the story brilliantly in this match, because it was just a ruthless assault on one singular body part. Yeah. There was one moment of weakness early in the match in which Nese bumped his arm from a move from Kushida, and then he spent 5 minutes systematically dismantling that joint until he Not until he could lock in the hoverboard lock, until he decided to lock in the hoverboard lock. It is utterly brilliant. Like, they have a back and forth, and they roll to the outside as Nice takes control, and then Kushida rams him into the post. And from there, he rolls him back into the ring and just starts standing front kicking the left arm of Nice. I think it's the left arm of Nice, yeah. And like Nice fights back a tiny bit, goes for this pump handle to get Kushida up onto his shoulders. But as he does, Kushida's kept hold of Nice's arm and has got that in a submission. Like, brilliant stuff. And then he just starts stomping on his head and his arm and his shoulder. And he does it like a couple of times and lets go when the referee's kind of coming in to be like, hey, stop, stop, stop. And he just goes back to it, does it again, drops to the floor and is like, hoverboard lock. This is over now. It was awesome. This is what I've wanted from Kushida since he turned up. Like, he's so good. And obviously, like, the benefit of, we said, with Kushida is that he's got so many strings to his bow that you can just explore them at different times. Like, when he came in, he was kind of, it was all about pace, and it was all about the kind of flippy, kicky Kushida who whips around you and dodges out of the way of all your moves. And now to see the sort of vicious submission style of Kushida really coming to the fore, and it being more about like dismantling your opponent. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. At the end of the match, the lights go purple. We get a little Velveteen Dream package on the screen. He says the spotlight will be too bright for Kushida, but the Dream puts on his best performances under the brightest spotlights. And then we go to the next thing.
Damn, he's going to lose hard. He's going to lose so hard.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so. I'm not entirely sure why they chose to put this on TakeOver. We've discussed that. When is going to be the right time to really feature Velveteen Dream again? Because it seems like they're obviously a bit shy about it still, because he's not really, he had that big return and then that didn't go down well. And then they had obviously a segment they filmed for the next week. That they kept in, and then they've had this Kushida thing, but the Kushida thing has had very little airtime, and it's had very little time between the two, and like Dream has featured a very limited amount on TV. So like, yeah, it's kind of weird to be barreling ahead with it and being like, oh, it's on TakeOver now, because just in the storytelling in NXT, it's not been made important. Like, obviously the change in Kushida's character has been made important, and so you want to have a Kushida match on TakeOver. I can understand, he is Kushida, but it's weird to just be like, well, the only one we've got on the cards is the Dream one, so that's going to happen. I wonder if it's still just a testing of the waters to be like, well, maybe if we put him in the ring with the newly minted vicious Kushida, people will kind of forgive us for having Dream on a TakeOver.
I don't know.
We'll see. It's very difficult. Yeah. We then got Grimes backstage complaining and saying he didn't want to see anyone unless you're Mr. Regal. And then Dexter Loomis arrives and stares at him, and he calls him a weirdo. And then Grimes walks off, and Loomis obviously stands there staring into space.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's about, but
I don't know. Maybe some sort of North American Championship number one contenderness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like him.
Another little tournament would be nice, actually.
Yeah, or at least kind of that three-way of Loomis, Holland, and Grimes would be really nice. It would be a good match. Good with me. Good with me. Anything to get more Cameron Grimes on my telly.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, and that's the thing, is like that North American Championship division really has just sprung up again with a whole new crop of talent that I think will be brilliant and are really going to make a name for themselves this year. Like, it's one of fascinating,
the most stacked divisions that WWE has right now. Like, in terms of you could go with anybody, like, it's stacked. It's like there's so many people that you could imagine having a legit, like, credible North American Championship run. There's like at least 10,
this is the thing, right? Like, this is the brilliance of NXT's kind of world building and storytelling, is that all these people have interacted at some point. They've all had matches together, and they've all spoken about their desires after the North American title. Like, if you look at Raw, who is in that mid-card position? Like, If after after
the US title Crew, division has two people in it,
after Apollo Crews and Bobby Lashley stop feuding over the US Championship, who's the next person? Because they will just appear from the mist. Like, I've been here the whole time. You didn't even know because I didn't get any TV time, did I? Even though we have 3 hours of television to deal with.
Keith Lee, probably. Yeah. Just because, you know, they, for some reason, they're only featuring the, you know, the African American wrestlers in the US title division. I could absolutely believe them just shunting Keith Lee into that. Keith Lee versus Bobby Lashley, though.
Ooh. Yeah, and I mean, if you wanted to give Keith Lee a title win very early in his career, and you're gun shy on the WWE Championship, then just having him walk in and destroy Lashley for the US title is pretty cool. But yeah, it is. That is not how you build a division. The North American title picture is how you build a division, especially when you've had your previous division ransacked. You've lost Keith Lee, you've lost Dijak, you've lost the kind of pillars of that, and you've suddenly gone like, well, Priest was already in that picture. We elevate him, and then we've got this waiting in the wings army of guys that we've built slowly and featured enough on NXT TV. They've done the blooming groundwork to go, oh, okay, there's still a division. Quality stuff, NXT. Well done as ever. I cannot praise you enough. Then we got the Adam Cole segment with Austin Theory. This match was really, really, really fun. Cole had Theory's number for most of it. Really great stuff. There was a really cool moment where Theory rolled out the ring out of the way of a pump kick right at the beginning. And Theory, even though he'd been beaten up for a couple of minutes at this point, decided to taunt Adam Cole, who just hopped out of the ring and did another pump kick. I loved Cole doing, like, he gets a sleeper and he says he's just telling Austin Theory to give up and telling the referee to ask him. And Theory keeps calling him undisputed crap while this is happening. Like, this kind of side of Austin Theory of being just like, no, no, but I'm being a dick. Like, and I will not be, even if you're beating me up, I will not stop being a dick is interesting. And it did make me think for a second that if they are going to have Kyle turn face and leave the Undisputed Era, is there room for an Austin Theory in the Undisputed Era at some point? I think he could fit. And I think he's like,
He is the right kind of dick. Just Austin Theory, Cameron Grimes, and Fishing Rod. Just the most dislikable men in professional wrestling. I thought Theory looked like $1 million in this match. Like, I don't think it was too much of a shutout. Like, I love his kind of rolling kind of drop kick that he hit. I love the fact he rolled and then shouted, this is undisputed, before it made contact. Nice little touch. I love, like, the counter to the Panama Sunrise, giving us a little kind of super kick to the back of the head, and then the blue thunder bomb, like, to get a legit close to. Like, I don't get me wrong, this is Adam Cole's match, but Austin Theory looks great. And like he had to properly, like, Cole had to properly hit out a sequence of super moves in order to put him away. He had to do Panama Sunrise, then Ushiguroshi, and then the last shot. Actually, did he do the... No, he didn't do the Panama Sunrise. He did a super kick.
Knocked him out of the air with a super kick, which, as we all know, is his legit finisher. That killed Ricochet. And then, yeah, he hit the Ushiguroshi in the last shot. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Adam Cole is obviously a wrestling genius. But yeah, props to Theory as well. Like, he is what... Unfortunately, he is the sort of person that his character says he is. Was at WrestleMania at 22 and is really good and deserves... But yeah, I think something like putting Theory into the Undisputed Era, I know people, you don't want to mess necessarily with the sanctity of the Undisputed Era, and you don't want to do the new Undisputed Era, because I think people will revolt against it. But Theory under the learning tree of a Roderick Strong and a Bobby Fish to grow his character, because I think his character is really strong as well. Like, his in-ring work's great, and I think his character's really coming together. But that could really elevate him to that next level of, like, his wrestling career. Because, yeah, he's got it, man. He's really going to go somewhere. Yeah, but
agreed.
Yeah, I think he would do very well as part, given a bigger role in a smaller faction. I think chucking him in with Rollins and stuff didn't really do much for him on Raw massively. And obviously, like, disappeared off the radar and then came back to NXT. So, yeah. I think you could grow him out of that. We then got Io Shirai and Damian Priest being interviewed backstage. Damian Priest said, come take over. We're keeping our championship because we're the rock stars of NXT. Io Shirai then took over and spoke Japanese. I don't know what she said. But then at the end, she went, Rockstar. Rockstar. It was hidden behind Luke. And then Priest goes, that is cool as hell. And horn bumps her, whatever that is, you know. And then,
sure.
And then she says, and then she says, he's not bad. Like, I was like, Damian Priest, Io Shirai, love angle? Question mark?
The priests of the sky. That sounds, doesn't sound right. But yeah, I thought it was fine. I really love the main event. We'll get to it, but like that was a lot of fun. A lot of different, really fun moving parts to this.
Yeah, we then got a very quick match between Kayden Carter and Xia Li. Xia Li obviously annoyed that she lost the tag match with Indy Hartwell against the Team Ninja Girls. Casey was out with Kayden. It was fun. Like there was a few little good bits. Like there was a really good roll up that Carter did, and as sort of Xia Li kicked out, she jumped forwards onto the ropes and jumped straight back off with a drop kick. I thought that was really fun. And then like Xia Li kind of breaking down and losing it a bit during the match, I thought was quite cool. She like spun around on the apron and gave her this big crazy chop across the throat and then dragged her off the apron by her feet to just splat on her back on the floor, stomped her as she rolled back in and then started like nailing her with all these strikes. But Kayden gets a roll up and then that leaves Xia Li feeling pretty bad as she pushes Casey Catanzaro and storms off being all unsportswomanly. And yeah. Xia Li heel turn.
It's fine. Like I can see a lot of people saying, "Who cares?" Just because we don't know who Xia Li is, really. Like she's been featured enough. Like, but every single match had at least some narrative reason for being on the show. Like yeah. You can't. Yeah, fine, sure. Like yeah, Xia Li is sort of like, you know, you're gonna have loads of people who'd be like, "Was Xia Li face to begin with? We didn't really know who she was. Does this heel turn matter?" There's something going on with every inch of the show, and like it's only going to make your women's division feel more alive if there is character changes happening from the top to the bottom of the division. So yeah, it was short, it was sweet, but there was at least something going on, which is good. It's more than it's raw, you know.
Yeah, like, exactly. But this is the thing: you need to start elevating people like Xia Li and people like Kayden Carter and Casey Catanzaro to make them feel important. Because yeah, Carter and Catanzaro were on a hell of a losing streak before they suddenly started rolling people up and winning matches. Xia Li was on a winning streak, but not really a character. So like, you need to start making them feel fleshed out as performers, because your division has just been raided for a couple of your big talents. You just lost Mercedes Martinez that you were building a whole thing with. You've just lost Mia Yim, who is one of the like stalwarts of that. Like, you know, I think they're still feeling the loss of Bianca Belair.
There's a draft coming as well. Yeah. And it's just like, please don't take any more. Yeah. Please.
But also this leads me down a line of thinking as well of like, if you're going to put a belt on Candice, for instance, Xia Li's and Kayden Carter's and Casey Catanzaro's are good little competitors for Candice to sort of have as a few of her first feuds. And then you slow build to Rhea Ripley storming back in and demanding her title opportunity. Because
Ripley versus LeRae would be lovely.
Because I think that's the thing. If you immediately start with Ripley and LeRae, it feels like a foregone conclusion the belt goes back on Ripley. But I think here you can do a few challenges like a Xia Li, like a Kayden Carter, like a Casey Catanzaro. You bring back Tegan at some point and you continue that for one title shot. And that you know, Tegan might be the one to do it. But I think you eventually want Ripley to have the belt again. And that is clearly what NXT want. But they're just waiting for the big crowning moment for Rhea. So yeah, I think you've got something nice here with this slow build of like reformatting your women's division almost to focus on these new faces. We then got the face-to-face between Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly, which, as we've said before, was absolutely fantastic. I liked Finn saying, "I'm going to slap the freckles off you," because Kyle was like, "I'm nothing like Adam Cole. Look at him. Look how handsome he is. Look at me. My ears don't match. I'm covered in freckles." And Finn just like, "I'll slap the freckles off your face at TakeOver." Brilliant stuff. You'd be helping him out there, Finn. He was just saying how... Yeah. His freckles were holding him back from being an Adam Cole.
Only helps the brand.
Yeah, great stuff. I like Brilliant stuff. Seek it out if you haven't seen it already. And then also seek this out because this was really great fun, as you would imagine, by who's in the match. You got Damian Priest and Io Shirai versus Johnny and Candice. Johnny and Candice got to do their couples entrance, which I loved. And then Priest and Io Shirai had a couples entrance. There was a brief, but again, building off the obvious chemistry between the two of them, when she was like, he's not bad earlier. Priest does his arrow thing that normally lights up his name on the wall. And instead it starts Io Shirai's entrance music. And she comes out and they both start taking off their jackets. And I was like, make out. And then, they screamed at each other and ran down to the ring and went after Johnny and Candice. Like, this is good. This is all really good stuff. I think Johnny and Candice and Priest and Shirai have done a great job of very quickly building what feels like quite a heated feud. I think Johnny and Candice are money together, like on screen. The power couple thing is so good. This was mostly a match for Priest and Shirai to really showcase how dominant they are as champions. There was a lot of time spent with Johnny and Candice kind of being the butt of the joke here. And I liked it because I think it kind of works that they're going to have to be wily and up their game. And it keeps a few tricks in the bag for TakeOver as well with them. Both, but yeah, there was some really, really fun stuff where like Shirai was gonna hit the knees on Candice LeRae and Johnny runs in and gets in the way, and it's like, you know, you wouldn't hit her husband, but instead Priest is stood behind Io Shirai and does this brilliant like kick to the side of Johnny's head, but around Io, like without really stepping out because he's so tall, without stepping out from behind, he just goes,
whoosh. He's a daddy long leg. He's like a Who is the, he's like a Quentin Blake drawing.
Yeah, and he nails Johnny, splashes him in the corner, and then sort of they roll out of the way, and Shirai still hits the knees to Candice in the corner. Like, there was some just brilliant little moments of chemistry, like Shirai hits the 619. She's going to hit the 619 on Candice, but Johnny sort of pops up in the way and takes it for Candice. And then that leaves Shirai hanging between the ropes because of having spun round. And Candice just grabs her and does her, like, elevated neck breaker thing through the ropes. Really, really good stuff. They all work together really, really well. Candice grabs her out of it, does a neck break, and then there was a German suplex after that. Priest got another big tag in, did his splash and a broken arrow. And then sort of towards the end, Shirai tagged herself in on Priest. And they were like, yeah, so the women fight the women and the men fight the men. So Shirai's in, so Candice LeRae is going to have to... Oh, no, she's missile dropkick Johnny Gargano. She's done that. And then, yeah, like Priest came in, tried to nail Johnny, and they sort of fought to the outside. Candice took a tiger driver and then was set up for the moonsault. And Johnny comes in and interrupts again, pushing Candice out of the ring, and then gets a bell clap, a kick to the face, and then a moonsault from Io. So Priest comes in on the tag because obviously he can be the only one to pin Johnny Gargano. He gets up for the reckoning. And at this point, Candice runs in, low blow.
Right the balls.
Johnny hits one final beat and wins. And then as they're sort of celebrating, Io comes in to have a go at Johnny, and Candice just runs in from behind with this crazy backstabber. And they close the show holding both belts. I want to see it.
I don't know. Everything the booking suggests says that they're going to do... Yeah, like they both are, you know, they're on top, so it suggests that they're both going to lose at TakeOver, but it's such a money gimmick. It's definitely a money gimmick going into Survivor Series on the main roster. Like, this idea of this married couple ruling NXT, it's such a communicative, like, it's such an idea that's so easy to communicate to the mainstream main roster audience. But also, like, Ember, what's more money, Ember versus Candice or Ember versus Io? You know, like, NXT love to be unpredictable, so they might switch one belt but not switch the other. It's so hard. Like, we're going to get into this much deeper into the ifs, the wills, the won'ts of TakeOver over on Wrestle 2. By the time you're listening to this, our prediction video will have gone live. We're going to be live streaming it, but it will be on the channel for you to rewatch as soon as you've heard this. And yeah, we'll get deeper into that business, but I don't know. And it angers me that I don't, because I am, you and me are bottom of the predictions right now.
Bottom. Pete is bottom.
Pete is, yes. Well, Pete, yes. Yes, but he's not that many spaces behind. He's like 3 points behind us.
That's enough. There's only six matches or something, isn't there? So like,
there's two takeovers in a Survivor Series.
He'll never catch up. It's fine. We'll be okay. I'm sure it's fine. I'm a four-time champion. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure I can cash in one of those to just avoid the punishment.
Right, that's how that works.
Yeah. I think that's how it works. It's like the X Division Championship in Impact. You can cash it in for something. I love this go-home show for NXT. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it really managed to make something out of a bunch of stuff that has clearly been flung together. Like, you know, if you watch regular NXT, a lot of this stuff started a couple of weeks ago, if not last week, and they've really made it feel dramatic and interesting, and there are layers to it. And history. Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor is the Finn O'Balor. I just made him extra Irish in my in my slip there. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor, like they've managed to find a really interesting line between the two of them for the match. Plus, you've got all the extra drama with the Undisputed Era and Adam Cole's face turn that still feels like it's up in the air. Like there's something really interesting going on here. It's going to be TV magic. Johnny and Candice as the power couple thing, closing the show with both belts. I love it to pieces. I hope they go in that direction. However, I think Damian Priest and Io Shirai have also proven themselves to be wonderful champions. Like, it's that thing. It's just a win-win with NXT. Like, whatever direction they go in with any of these matches, you can see a way out. Like, it's not like, you know, like, let's look at Clash of Champions, and you're having the Street Profits versus Angel Garza and Andrade for the umpteenth time.
Whoever wins, we lose.
And you look at it logically, and you go, okay, well, really the only reason to have this match again is if you're going to finally put the belts on Andrade and Angel Garza, because otherwise the line has been drawn under this. The Street Profits have won individually, together, multiple times. Why would you do the match again? The only way out of it is this. And yet the Street Profits won. And you don't know where they're going to go next because there aren't any more tag teams.
Yes. So
like, we've run out of tag teams at two. And yet NXT, you're over here going, well, if Finn Balor wins, there's Kushida, there's this guy, there's this guy. There's this whole line of, there's Tommaso Ciampa that we've forgotten about. Like, there's a whole line of people waiting for that belt. North American division, there's a whole line of people. The women's division, even the cruiserweight division, like, they'll find something to do. There's the fallback story of Drake Maverick. If you're not going to do them as a tag team with Killian Dane, even if you didn't have a tag team with Killian Dane is the thing that's going to swing it against Legado del Fantasma, having your big friend come along and help you out in the matches.
The fact that you don't need either Adam Cole or Tommaso Ciampa to be on a takeover to make the takeover feel significant is saying something. And it just goes to show, like, this, what's happened, like, the scramble they've had to do to put together a takeover out of scraps at the last minute with the last taping having to be massively altered, is the fact that, yeah, it just shows they NXT do, to some, you know, not very exciting, to some a little tame, in terms of booking, like maybe compared to Dynamite perhaps, but in terms of, like, they do consistent, steady booking for everyone on the card, and it means that everyone has enough stuff going on that you can slot people into spots like this and make it work and make it not feel like a jarring mismatch. Like, everything on Raw is so confusing, and people are like all over the place with the storylines they're doing. Are they on Raw Underground? Are they working with Retribution? Are they breaking up, or are they back together, or are they breaking up again? And like, so much of that feels like desperate hotshot booking, whereas NXT takes it slow and steady, but it means that in a panic they can pull together storylines out of established weeks-long continuity and make it work. And it's such a carefully built brand. It may not be the most sensational headline grabbing stuff every single week, but it's so consistent, and these takeovers are so like step by step, just like every takeover has one or two killer matches on, and it's like five matches I'm looking forward to. You know, obviously I would prefer it if Kushida was fighting someone else, but like, even so, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. It's like, it's a good show, sure. and this, and like it, yeah, it's all the chickens coming home to roost, I think, when they can absolutely put together a go home show of this quality for a takeover that has, you know, been, for all intents and purposes,
in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
So, Shag, Marry, Kill, mm-hmm. Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Fishing Rod.
Fishing Rod come together, do they?
They come as a package.
They come all... Shag them. They come as a package. I guess you'd shag Cole, wouldn't you? Shag Cole. Yeah, I think I'd shag Cole.
I might marry Cole. I think I'm going to marry Cole just for the video games aspect of things. I think he would. I think we'd have stuff to talk about.
I'm going to marry Kyle O'Reilly. Because I think he gives good hugs. Really technical, but good hugs.
Yeah, you're not getting out of those hugs.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to tap out. That's how you get out of the hug. And then unfortunately, yeah, Fishing Rod are gonna have to be killed in this scenario.
I think I'd shag Fishing Rod just because that's a story. You know,
maybe like... I'd marry Fishing Rod, like Tiger King.
I mean, if you're willing to make an enemy out of Marina Shafir, go for it, my son.
Oh yeah.
But I think I'd shag Strong Fish. I think you'd be able to dine out on that story for years. Just like, oh my god, like they kicked me to death and broke my back, but it was the night of my life. Although I don't want to kill Kyle O'Reilly. He's so nice. Maybe I'll kill Adam Cole and maybe jumpstart Pat McAfee's NXT championship run. All right, I'm going to go with marry Kyle O'Reilly, shag Strongfish, and kill Adam Cole because, you know, he's had a good run. He's had a good long run. He's done some great work.
It's well time done. For Adam Cole to go and live on a farm somewhere. That's what we'll tell the kids.
There can Adam be only
Cole
one.
To live on a farm.
Only one Adam. in the entirety of wrestling.
God, you're going to have some words with What Culture off the back of that.
An Edge. Yeah,
you have too many.
Oh, no, Braun Strowman.
Oh, no. I think if they're using a different name, it's fine.
Oh, is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could go back to being Plumpy, I guess, couldn't you?
Oh, don't. God, awful. So you... Wait, so you... you're Shaq and Cole. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that would go?
Badly, I imagine.
Why?
I don't know. I just get the feeling it would.
How are you going to kill Roderick
Strong? How would I kill Roddy Strong and Bobby Fish?
Just two of them. It's hard to kill. It's much easier to have sex with them.
See, this is the thing. I guess like I've never really thought about this game in terms of what would my marriage to Kyle O'Reilly actually be like? Like, you know. How long do we have to be? Are we allowed to get a divorce in this game, or is it? Do we have to stay married forever?
I mean, if he has started to kind of scale back on the ginger beard, but there was a time when you and him were looking quite similar, and it's to the point where it's just like, what they say about straight sex couples is true. They just eventually just start to look alike.
One, yeah. Yeah, much more difficult in the gay community.
Same sex. What am I talking about? Yeah, exactly. I'm an idiot.
So I guess, I mean, I would kill Roddy Strong by locking him in a boot, I think. just leaving him there.
Oh, my God.
And then
I slowly starve to death.
Yeah. And then I would, and then 6 months down the line, when Bobby Fish had exhausted himself looking for Roderick Strong, I would sit him down and at length tell him what I did to Roddy Strong and then watch him die of a broken heart.
Right. Or kill you.
Yeah, or kill me. Okay. No, it's my game. I get to make the rules. Okay. So I'd either watch him die of a broken heart or I'd run away really fast and then come back with a gun.
Yeah. I would basically say to Adam Cole, I've got you this lovely surprise. Look. And I would just get him to open, you know, I bring him a box and I say, inside is, I've got it months before anyone else. It's a PS5, Adam Cole. And he would open up the little box. And there would be just a little note inside that says, "I'm sorry," and I had to shoot him twice in the back of the head. Completely painless. Painless.
Yeah, because what I would do is kill him like a death by 1,000 cuts scenario using Uno cards. That's what I'd do. Oh, you think you're good at this game, do you, Adam? Yeah.
If you just like Tower of Babel this, and you're like Batman, you have a way of taking out every single member of the WWE roster.
That's it. I've got a huge list.
Lovely.
Yeah, well, there we go. That's all we've got time for on this Shag, Marry, Kill edition of the NXT podcast. You've got more awesome NXT content coming up. You've got the magazine show tomorrow. You have SmackDown on Saturday, and you'll be getting, I think you'll probably be getting an NXT review at some point next week as well, if you're lucky. I don't know if we've actually decided that yet, but here's hoping you do. Me and Adam are actually away next week, so it won't be us. It'll be someone else discussing NXT TakeOver if it does happen. Also, check out Wrestle 2 because there's been a bunch of New Japan content over there for you. And also, that's where our predictions for this edition of NXT TakeOver number 31 will be too. So head over there to see those. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.